This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
What's the greatest way to bounce back from defeat? Yep, that's right. Stick five past Salford and go top of the league. The Stags bounce back from their defeat at Warsaw by putting five past Salford, leapfrogging to top of Sky Bet League Two. And thanks to results elsewhere and a resounding difference in the goal difference tallies, the Stags very much are on top. Which begs the question, on February the 29th, could this be the Stags' very own leap year? Tonight, we'll recap that 5-1 victory over Salford, look ahead to a very busy March, and continue to ask the questions that's on everybody's lips. Can the Stags stay top? Will they be crowned champions at the end of the season? Or is there simply too long to go yet? As always, come and have your say on your team in the comments. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Get involved now. A very good evening and welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. How good were the scenes at the end of the Salford game when this was ringing around the Wancourt Stadium? It's a chant that I won't get tired of hearing for a while, but it's one that I want to hear over and over and over again every single Saturday and Tuesday when the Stags play, as we try and stay top in this season, which continues to baffle our brains. Joining me tonight to talk all things Mansfield Town and all things league leaders, let's say hello, good evening and welcome to the man who has pretty much every combination you need for any scoreline that you can throw up. It's Nick of Mansfield Town Shirts Fame. Evening.
Evening, Craig. Evening, everybody.
And the man who, I think we need to get him sponsored by Strepsils or some form of throat lozenge, because goals seem to be flying in every left, right and central at Wancourt Stadium. It's the voice of Wancourt. It's Alan Wilson.
Good evening, Craig. Good evening, everybody.
Now, I'll be honest, Al, I think it's one of those things, isn't it, where I don't think you'd care if you had a really hoarse voice on a Sunday morning, as long as you got to continue shouting, "Goal scorer for the Stags."
No, it's a lovely change, Craig. And I thought the atmosphere on Saturday was absolutely electric. That's the best I've heard it for quite a while. It was just bouncing all the while, even when they came out to train. You know, it was one of those days, weren't it? They were bouncing from start to finish. And it's just, it's a nice warm feeling. You know, it's great to be a Stags fan.
One thing Nigel Clough makes a point of, Nick, and he made it in his post-match interview after the Warsaw game, he's saying, we do not lose back-to-back games. And even though Salford going into that game were unbeaten under their new manager and a bit of resurgence of form, you sort of had the sense, didn't you, that this particular side can very easily rile themselves back up and make sure that they don't lose back-to-back fixtures.
Yeah, you're back to the Wimbledon game. I think we lost that, and it would have been very easy, I think, to lose back-to-back games. And we managed to get it completely out of our system straight away, and we've done it again. I think the good thing about the two defeats we've had recently, there's been a bit of a sense of injustice to both of them, and I think they've probably used that a little bit to our advantage to rile the players up a little bit. It's not like we were poor in Wimbledon or Walsall, but we were wronged in both games, really. So maybe, Clough's used that, but there was certainly no sluggishness on Saturday. We were, right at it from minute one, and the crowd were behind him, and it just went all to plan, didn't it?
How important is it, Alan, to stay grounded and just keep taking every game as it comes? Because now we are top, there's a expectation level which gets risen through the roof again, isn't there?
Well, they're willing for everybody, Craig, won't they? I mean, I'm no different to any other fan. I really do want Mansfield to go up as champions. But, it's the old cliche, isn't it? One game at a time. Keep ticking them off, like people have said before in the comments and also year it at work and various other places. If we win all his own games, we're up. And, you can't think like that. It's just one game at a time. Let's get on with Newport. Let's sort Newport out, and then we'll carry on 10K Dons on Tuesday night and hopefully do the same with them.
It's a very difficult run that we've got. We're going to look at fixtures a little bit later on, Nick, but we've still got MK Dons to play in there twice. We've obviously got Newport to play. We've got Wrexham. That's been announced as a TV game as well today. And I what I really find fascinating is that when we seem to get the result, other teams around us don't get the results. And when we slip up, they slip up as well. It seems to be a continuous cycle, and we're just digging ourselves deeper in and cementing our foundations with each game that comes.
Yeah, I think you look at the rest of the league, it's so tight. I mean, Notts County being down in sort of lower mid-table now has come from nowhere. They were sort of clinging on to automatic sort of hopes when they played us, only a month ago. The league's really, really tight at the minute. It's so easy to sort of lose place. But like you say, when we've slipped up, other teams seem to be beating each other. And there's if you look at, everyone's got something to play for now, which I think plays to Mansfield's advantage a little bit. Because when we tend to come up against teams who have not got a lot to play for and sit back and aren't that bothered, we tend to struggle. But I think we've hit Salford and Harrogate at a really good time because they were both feeling like they could come to Mansfield and win because they were both fearless. Whereas if we'd have played a Salford and Harrogate of a few months back when they were, relatively in poor runs of form, they're more likely to come and sit back. And I think that doesn't suit how we play. I think it really suits us playing teams in form. So you look at playing Wrexham and MK Dons, I think we play better against teams that are going to likely to attack. And I don't think MK Dons are going to sit back. I don't think Newport will sit back on Saturday either. And I think that suits us. And like you say, you've just got to be better, not as worse as the other, just three teams below us. And like you said, they all take importance of each other, aren't they? They've all got to play each other as well. So that's an important thing, I think.
Now, Alan, you are the voice of eternal optimism and eternal positivity. You bleed positivity. I'm trying to think of the worst possible scenario, and I still think you'd find a positive out of it. But I'm going to try and test you a little bit, because as much as this podcast will be filled with undying positivity, given the five goals we scored past Salford, the position we are in the league, there is one niggling thing that is in the back of my mind at the minute, and that is the goals we've conceded. The last five goals which we've conceded, all right, in two of those games, we've gone on to win by a very comfortable margin. Obviously, we lost at Walsall, but all five of the last five goals that we've conceded, A, could have all been avoided, and B, were very, very sloppy. And even though we've got this superior goal difference, I think we've got +9 on second place stop put with a game in hand, we've only got one better goal scored than what they've got. It's our defensive record which is keeping us up there and which is proving the difference. But if we're starting to see these soft goals get conceded on a more frequent basis, that's the niggling voice of doubt, is it, that says, you haven't done it yet?
No, well, I agree with what Carl said, from that 18-19 season, three games and 1 point, and we can all remember that, I'm sure, the back of his mind. But I honestly don't think it'll be a problem, Craig. I mean, you can talk about it, you can say that, but I mean, they've done it all season. We've been there or thereabouts all season. The defence has looked a lot more solid since Flint and Brunt, Cargill, whatever, however you put the four at the back, they all play relatively well. And I honestly don't think it'll be a problem, because what they've got in front of them does the business as well. And if we come out, it's always that early goal. I like an early goal, you know, first 10, 20 minutes. If we get them on the front foot, every team will struggle against us. And I can't see a problem. I really can't.
Nick, is there a bit of a concern in your brain considering the five goals that we've conceded last month? The one for me which was particularly concerning was the one we conceded at home to Salford, losing the ball so far high up the pitch and then players not communicating with each other, allowing players to get through.
I think the only thing with that is somebody should have just wiped him out on the halfway line, shouldn't they, and took a yellow card, and that'd have been the end of it. But to be honest, I'm not really that bothered. I feel like Salford could have scored four and we'd have still scored five. I just think we're so caught. I just don't feel like some of our players are going to let us concede enough goals to lose games at the minute. You know what I mean? When you look at Pym and Flint at the back, and they just don't look like they're wanting to. I know they concede the odd goal here and there, but no, I wouldn't say I'm worried. For the first time in, you know, 25 years of being a Stags fan, I'm actually not that worried at the minute. You know, look at our goal difference. It's unbelievable. Like you surely don't finish in the playoffs with 39 goal difference. I know if anyone can do it, we can do it. Clip that. But it's just, I don't know. I'm just confident. I'm confident in the defence, which I've not said for a long, long time. And I think if you keep goals out, we will score more than most teams. And I think that's, you know, what's going to happen, I think, between now and the end of the season is, you know, the one that did concern me at Warsaw was the corners, that we seem to not be as good at defending corners as we were a few months ago. But then with Matt Smith at Salford, we seem to remedy that on Saturday. So, you know, you're not going to come up against anyone as big as him every week. So maybe we've sorted that. That was my one worry was set pieces. Like I say, Saturday we seem to have, it was a bit of a fluke from that lad, really, isn't it? Somebody should have just wiped him out.
I just think it boils down to that early goal as well. Because if you get the early goal, you know, teams that's wanting to sit back, however they want to play, they've got to change it. Otherwise, they're going to lose by one goal, if not more. So, you know, that's in our hands. And the way we've been coming out just lately, we have been on fire. So it's a good thing.
It is. I just think sometimes it's that little bit of we sometimes lack that little bit of grit. Maybe we got a little bit too over complacent, a little bit too confident. But like you've both said, somebody should have just wiped him out on the halfway line, taken a book in. I know there's some debate over, well, that's not to the rules of the game. Well, I don't care. It's about what's right for the team. And sometimes you've got to be ugly clever to be able to do that and make those decisions. But you've got to be a little bit sharp when it comes to making decisions defensively. And if it means somebody taking a book in and somebody else, you know, then getting subbed off or whatever, it doesn't matter, because it's all about the team and getting the results. And I think we've definitely been scarred by that whole missing out by one goal scenario last season. Keep your comments coming in. Have your say on your team during the live feed tonight. If you listen to the audio version of this, do feel free to come and join us on a live podcast. You can find when we're next going to be live by following us on social media at MTFC Matters. Marie's been in touch. And again, it's the beautiful simplicity of football, isn't it, Nick? We will concede. We just need to score one more than the opposition.
Yeah, I always feel like we will. Years ago, being a Stags fan, and probably every other Stags fan the same, we concede a goal and it's like, oh, God's sake, that's the game done. Now you're just like, I wonder when we're going to score. You do, don't you? You just see their goal going, you go, I will equalise. You know, Warsaw, they scored, it's like, I will equalise. You know, Salford scored. I even said to my dad, I said, I fancy a goal before half time here, and we did. We just seemed to score at the right time. But
yeah,
I think if we'd have gone in 1-1, that would have been a different second half completely. But we just score goals at the right time, don't we? We just, every time the opposition seems to get, you know, like Harrogate, I know they scored two goals and it made it 6-2 or whatever, but we just calmed it all down and went up the other end and scored again. We seem to have a knack of just, you know, telling the opposition to just calm down, we're going to score another and we'll just go up and do it. And that's a really good habit for us to have, is scoring in good times and just, like Al said, getting early goals, killing off teams, making them demoralised, and then they have to come out and attack and we get another one. That's how a few games have gone recently, and hopefully that'll carry on.
Almost like teasing opposition at times, isn't it? Going, hey, yeah, if you want, but hold on, because we're coming back at you. Keep your comments coming in. Ben says 13 games left. MK Dons twice and Wrexham look tricky, but 10 games very winnable. We look hard to beat and finally starting to convert our chances. Champions is in our hands. Carl says players are clicking at the right time. Swan, Boateng, etc. These players were nowhere near the starting 11 mid-October to December. Always back Boateng when every man and his dog wanted him gone in January. How times have changed. Nick, had any more sign-ups for the Heron Boateng fan club this week?
To be fair, I think Carl's probably was one of the only members, to be fair. So he's still got his membership T-shirt somewhere. We were giving him away. Now we're charging for him.
And recoup the losses.
Alan's bought 10.
Oh, dear. Paul says, evening, guys. Great game Saturday. Went for a lovely meal in the West End Saturday. Lovely carvery and coffee and cake as well. But really enjoyed the atmosphere on Saturday. And nice to see Stags on Sky twice in 1 week. Alan mentioned the atmosphere earlier, Nick. I did actually feel there was a bit of a shift in the atmosphere on Saturday against Salford. And it was nice to actually see for the first time the North Stand experiment actually used to its full potential, although those one or two teenage Mancunians might have ruined it for the rest of us for the future. But, you know, 5-1 and all that.
Yeah, it was a lot fuller than I think it had been before, but it was terrible times to open it, wasn't it? Was it the Sutton game, wasn't it, on a Tuesday night when it was awful, and then the Harrogate one on a Tuesday night when it was awful. So I think that was the fullest it's been, wasn't it, by a mile. And it really did feel at times that stand didn't have any Salford fans in it, because they were always outsung by the Mansfield fans. And I think it was a real change of atmosphere from normal games. It felt a bit more of an away game atmosphere, I think, at times. You know, there's a lot of singing, and as it should be where we are in the league. But I saw somebody mention there about the whole town getting behind the club. I've noticed for some reason at the minute, wherever you go, there's people in Stag shirts all the time. You know, whenever you're out, you normally used to see other shirts and teams, but it's all Mansfield. See people up and down around where I live, just in Mansfield tops and shirts, and it's just the whole town and the atmosphere when you go to games is expecting to win, isn't it? Which is brilliant. That's how it should be.
Why have I got this image of you running down the street after him? Is that a match worn?
Yeah. I've got a fake checkpoint halfway down the A614 where you just double check.
Oh, dear. Yeah, keep your comments coming and have your say on your team. Let's move our attention to fantastic February then, shall we? 20 goals scored. Obviously, we mentioned the goal difference earlier. We'll come back to that in a little while. The club obviously put out their monthly goal of the month video. Of the 20 that we've scored, Alan, have you got a particular favourite?
Yes. Davis Keeler Dunn, the one where he curled it round and it went to top corner, because I was right behind that. He hit it beautifully. Did a bit of fancy work by Cargill, put him in, took it on his right, bang. That's my favourite.
Nick, what about you?
Same one, Canty. I think that was the biggest impact, because that was a narrow game, wasn't it? A lot of the other games came in like 9-2s and 5-1s and 4-0s. But it's got to be the best goal of the month competition Mansfield have ever had. It's got to be, hasn't it?
Yeah.
There weren't just like lots of goals, which is great, because normally like we're scrapping around for an own goal. But, you know, there was five goal of the season contenders in there. You look at Swans at Harrogate, Clarks at Forest Green. There's been some great team moves in there. You've got Keeler Dunn that we spoke about. There was, five or six goals that could easily be goal of the season, easily.
It's one of those things, isn't it, where we're just absolutely blessed with these things at the minute. I think for mine, you can't look beyond the technique for Davies Keeler done against Notts County. I enjoyed Ollie Clark's at Forest Green, because it sort of seemed to come from nowhere. Swans against Harrogate, the first one, won it, from what I'm being told. And I would have to be inclined to agree that for me...
Yeah, fair play.
A decent strike. Again, he sort of jinks in between a couple of players, gets the technique round, it bends it and gives the keeper absolutely no chance. It was one of those ones where, you know, he'd just come off the bench. All of the praise and stuff was on Hiram Boateng at the time and Lucas Aikins, but Will Swan, who had had a good couple of games before that, had then been dropped, and he sort of said, well, I'm going to come on and this is what I can do. I think from a technique point, that one certainly is up there. I actually am quite pleased with the way we're scoring team goals as well. And I think the one for me, Nick, which highlights it, is again Will Swan, the Salford game. And the highlights of it, the clip of it, doesn't actually do it justice. And it's all down to Lucas Aikins tracks back very, very well, wins the ball, drives the halfway line, and he's got an opportunity, if you watch the footage back, to switch and play in, I think it's Stephen Quinn on that far side early. But I think he's a little bit either hesitant that Quinn's in an offside position or sees something else and instead holds, turns back inside, plays it down the right-hand side, and we get a lovely little bit of interchanging team movement, lovely whip of the ball into the box, and Swan's movement, perfect.
Yeah, it was a brilliant header, wasn't it? I don't know how he got so much power on it, because although it was whipped, it wasn't particularly have a lot of pace on it. And he really, you know, twisted his neck and really headed that in the bottom corner. But like I say, it was a good... You don't normally see when the player keeps it in the bottom corner inadvertently and the other team runs up the other end. They don't normally score, do they? I think we tried that once for them. They nearly scored from one. And it was a bit like the Harrogate when they took the corner and we just ran up the other end and Keeler Dunn could have done a bit better. But like you say, pick the right option. And there was the one-touch passing was brilliant, wasn't it? And then the header was even better. I think Williams has really got a lot of credit. I think he's a brilliant option at right back. And I'm starting to think now, really, he's probably our first choice. Although Barry's not done anything wrong. I do think Williams has, been fantastic when he's played there.
Yeah, I think it's, especially at home, I think he sort of seems stretching the game a little bit at home. Paul in the comments says, what's going to be interesting is who's going to be the player of the season. Now, that is a debate for another day, for the end of the season. But let's talk about player of the month, because that's also a vote as well. And this one, I think this is the hardest month to judge. But if I'm going to judge it based on progression and based on impact, I, again, can't look further, Alan, than Will Swan. You know, like someone said in the comments earlier, 2 months ago, he was out of the picture we were considering and talking about sending him out on loan to develop and getting back, you know, next season, firing all cylinders. But for whatever reason, it's clicked, and this month for him has been an absolute U-turn. Instead of sailing against the tide, he's spun the boat around and he's sailing with it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also say that a close either equal or a close second would be Cargill, because I think he's put some fantastic performances in, you know, albeit at left back, because we know he can play when he needs to drop to centre-half, he does, but Brunt's playing really well at the moment. And when you can keep McLaughlin out of a team, who was starting to look good himself when he came back, you know, he's got to be doing something right. So I think you could pick quite a few of them, you know, you could probably pick any one at 11, to be fair, but I agree with the Swan and possibly Cargill.
Nick?
I would have... Swan's the obvious one, but exactly what Alan said, I was going to say Cargill. He was my man of the match at Warsaw. He scored a couple of good goals. He's filled in a position that he's unfamiliar with in terms of it's not his main position, probably not the one that suits all of his strengths. So he's not the quickest, but, you know, he's done half bomb up and down that left-hand side, especially at home. And he helps us in the air as well. So, you know, I'd go for Swan probably just because he deserves it after where he was. But I think Cargill would be the sort of second choice pick. Certainly most improved would be Swan, but Cargill's been fantastic. I mean, you could probably write a list of teams of players who've played out of position and been brilliant. You know, look at Bowery and Cargill, and there's been others that have played slightly out of position and have still been brilliant. So yeah, Cargill or Swan for me.
Look at Brunt since he's gone back in defence, you know, from midfield. He's been immense as well.
Now, Philip has said in the comments, based upon our team at the moment, what's your best starting 11? I've just been scribbling down.
Oh, you're going to get quite a few differences of opinion there, aren't you? Which is good.
I think we will. So, obviously, I've gone Flinders in goal.
Yeah.
Silence. Adam Collin in goal.
I won't mention it. Christy Pym in goal, obviously. Back four. And I can't believe I've left him out. Williams, Flint, Brunt and Cargill. I can't believe I've left Bowery out there, to be fair. Midfield, I think that's the toughest one for me.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more about Lewis Reed's contract in a bit, but he definitely gets in there. The others, Ollie Clark and Stephen Quinn, and then it's DKD in behind Akins and Swan. Any amendments to it? Anything you want to say? I mean, you're not really considering putting Boateng in there, are you, Nick, really?
Did I say Giorgio Mauricio there?
No, I left Maris out as well. I think our best midfield for me is with... The argument would be Quinn or Maris, I think, for me. I think Clark, when he's fit and fully fit, is one of our best central midfielders. I think he gives us something different. The Quinn that played Saturday, yes. The Quinn that's played the rest of the season, no. But I think on Saturday, it was his best game this season by a mile. Maris tended to look better where Keeler Dunn was, but Keeler Dunn's better in that position, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Maris tends to look better the further forward he plays, but he's not quite as good as Keeler Dunn in that position. So I think Maris only loses out just because Keeler Dunn's been unbelievable. But, you know, you could easily play him instead of Quinn, I think.
I'd play any two of either side of him, but Clark and Maris would be my first two picks.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't leave George.
Giorgio Mauricio.
George Maris could score 4,000 own goals and Alan Wilson would still pick him.
He's my Boateng.
Poor man's Boateng.
Poor man's Boateng.
Lance on the Hiram Boateng, but I think Alan Wilson's going to need a secretary to his fan club. I think Nick will be all right.
I think so.
Coming in, Carl says, just exciting times at the moment. Look how squad the strong is. Firepower all over the pitch. When Swan's been on the bench, he's been having the super sub role again recently. Just can't get carried away. Focus on our job. That's all that matters. Don't care what everyone else is doing. Just get the points on the board. Can't underestimate anyone in this league. Points to fight for up and down the table. And Simon adds, love Clark's tackle on Lund on Saturday.
Quality, much needed one.
Yeah, very interested on the whole team thing. Again, picking a particular person to stand out this month and indeed all season, I think is going to be a real good one. But I think what it does, Nick, it reaffirms the job in which Nigel Clough and his team have done. They've built this team over, you know, the last three, four transfer windows. It's not been an overnight success. This has been something in the works for the past two, three seasons.
Yeah, I think it really kicked into overdrive last January when we signed Kilgore and Keeler Dunn. I think that's what kick-started the team we've got now. I know a lot of the players were from before, but this real drive and determination, I think, to win, I think, has come a lot from last January when we got those two in. We seemed before then we were just buying players ad hoc a little bit. But then the likes, well, we signed Reid as well, didn't we, in that window? You know, you look at the team now, we signed Reid, Keeler Dunn and Kilgore in that one window. Which was unbelievable, really. And you think how what an impact those three have had, apart from his injury. But yeah, he's built a fantastic team. We haven't got a weakness anywhere, and that's testament to Clough and his team of people. Oh, the gate's here. Look at that.
No, it's not going to comment any further, though, because it's closed off.
That's unbelievable. But I think we've just got quality in every position, haven't we? And we've not had that for a long, long time. You know, if you said, do we need to sign anybody in the summer? I know, obviously, if we got promoted, we probably do. But, like, what position would you pick? Because, like, where do we need more strength? There isn't a lot, is there? You know, I questioned Pim originally because I thought, well, he was doing well, but I thought, can we spend the wages somewhere else? He's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's been goalkeeper of the season by a mile in this league. You know, people were questioning Flint's pace. And Brunt, well, he's a young lad. He's not played first-team football before. He's been unbelievable. You know, is Bowery going to play? Is he not? He's been, you know, one of the players of the first half of the season. You know, it's been, like you say, testament to their... They know a lot more than we do, don't they, obviously? Especially if you read Facebook or Stagsnet.
Certainly do. I can't remember the last time I went on Stagsnet.
No, same.
Moving swiftly on. One thing Nick touched upon there is the quality within the squad. Obviously, like Alan being able to play different positions and all of that. But what I think that has done is allow us, and this is going back to the goals we've scored, is allow us to flip the coin and no longer have one way of playing, which we have had in previous seasons now. And I was talking about this on a Salford podcast at the weekend. We're able to change it up, you know, mix it about a little bit and do whatever we need to do to score. Look at the goals that we scored in that 20 goal reel. Some's been some fantastic individual strikes, granted. Some's been some direct play. Some's been some lovely passing movements. We are able to flip it left, right and centre. And again, just look at the way in which we scored the goals against Salford. And that, for me, is the difference between a Mansfield Town side that won't have the legs to get over the line and the Mansfield Town side that will be in League One next season.
Yeah, because all the permutations that you have and the way that we play, it's all, you know, down to the squad, isn't it? I mean, Aaron Lewis came in Saturday had a blinder of a game, I thought. It played really well. To say it hadn't been, it only had 10 minutes bit parts, you know, probably at last three games, came in, and it doesn't seem to matter who he plays. It can make three, four changes, and they just seem to gel. And like he said afterwards, everybody is playing for everybody. There's no bad eggs. There's no sulking. If you're in the team, you try and keep your shirt. If you're not in the team, when you do come on, you know, you make sure you play well. And that, it can only be a good thing, can't it? Because we've said before, that squad this season is unbelievable.
Think you look at the subs as well, though, don't you? You see, for the first season, the subs are coming on and scoring goal. You know, we're like 3-0 up, we make subs, and we're winning 9-2 and 5-1. We're scoring so many late goals. Even when, you know, years back, if you were 3-1 up at Salford, that'd have been it. We'd have brought on some defenders and we'd have called it quits. Yeah, we brought on players and they're banging goals in left, right and centre. Like you say, Clark's flying into tackles from 30 yards away. Boateng's getting on the end of crosses. It just, like, it doesn't matter who you bring on, does it? You can bring anybody on.
No.
And they have blinders of games, or you bring them back and they haven't played for, like you say, 6 weeks, Aaron Lewis. And he just comes in like he'd played every week.
I'd love to go and watch your training session. I really would. Up at RH.
Yeah.
Listen, you're Alan Wilson. You could just turn up. Right, mate. You have the keys to the town.
You just have to announce all the goals in training.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to take Bobby a walk.
Joe Scurry for the stag in training. Mansfield Town's number two. Actually, is that number two? I can't see from here. Who is that? Sorry, what's that? It was Cliff. You having a laugh?
He's got a little microphone on top of his car.
Yeah, it's a little megaphone.
Yeah, a little megaphone.
Joe Scurry. Mansfield Town's number 10, Georgie Mauricio.
I'm going to get that one in for end.
I'm sure you will. Yeah, definitely do. He's got to score first. Anyway, moving back along. Can't remember where I was going with it now. There was a point that you said, you were talking there about the difference between going 3-1 up and then bringing defence on or bringing sort of game out and now being hungry. And Andy Garner took a little bit of flack for what he said in his post-match articles. You know, Steve-O was very much like, these stats are amazing. Wow, what, you know, we've got this amount of shots on target. And Andy's gone, yeah, we've only scored 5. And everyone's going, are you all right? But he's actually spot on in what he says, Nick.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. We should, like, if we've got, like, I don't know, arguments say 20 shots on target and we've only scored 5 goals, that's what, a 25% return rate?
Do we only have 7 on target out of 21 shots, 23 shots with 7 on target, something like that?
Yes.
I think he ended up saying 28, didn't he? He miscounted, Steve. He said 28.
But you look back at Grimsby and, like, we were complaining then, weren't we? We scored 2 and we could have had 20. You know, Harrogate could have been more than 9, let's be honest.
Yeah.
We could have had 7, 8, 9. So I suppose Andy Garner's point is that sometimes those 5 don't fly in and we'll rue those chances. Like, look at Warsaw. We created the same amount of chances against Warsaw, if not better chances against Warsaw than we did against Salford. I dare say we created better chances at Warsaw than we did at Harrogate, but we just didn't take any of them, did we? That's the thing. And look at Forest Green. We didn't create as many chances, yet we banged 4 in. So he's absolutely right. If you've got to try and take as many chances as you can. Can't score too many goals, can you? But the positive thing is we really did press till the end. And to be 4-1 up and still scoring goals in injury time, against 10 men when they've completely given up and we could have just been passing it around the back, is you literally have to stay to the last minute with Stags, even when you're 4-1 up, because we might score.
It's that thing of we do not stop, you know. It's sort of like, it's that killer instinct, isn't it? And sometimes in football, you have to be a killer. There's no room for nice guys in football because nice guys win absolutely sod all. Whereas the teams that are ruthless, the teams that are hungry, do. We were guilty of it. In the season, we got to the playoff final. We weren't hungry enough in games. We weren't good enough in games. We didn't have that killer instinct at times against teams. We didn't know how to switch it up. The season after that, we allowed ourselves to lick our wounds for far too long, and that ultimately cost us. Whereas this season, you know, every single player, there's not a guaranteed 11. Every single player is fighting to start. Every single player is fighting to come on and score goals and take the opportunities when they come. You know, it ain't over until the final whistle is blown.
No, they don't want to come off the pitch, do they? You can see that, you know, even though they're tired, they're shattered, you know, whatever, they just don't want to come off the pitch because they're enjoying themselves too much. And then they still don't want to come off when they clap in the crowd and whatever. They spend another 10 minutes there. So they're certainly enjoying themselves. And you can't fault them for that, because there's been times when it hasn't been like that. Let's face it, you know, when we had not such a good squad, it weren't such a nice place to be around when you're losing games and whatever. Let's enjoy the moment like they are doing, and let's hope it lasts, which I'm sure it will.
Time for a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk Lewis Reed. We'll talk players for next season. Who else needs to get signed on the dotted line? We'll talk more about Lewis Brunt and answer some more of your comments, questions and opinions in the live feed in the comments. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast. We'll be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're back with the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast. A quick reminder then that coming up at the end of the season, where hopefully we'll be celebrating promotion, we will also be going back in time with another Stags Stories episode. It's all part of Mansfield Museum's The Beautiful Game exhibition and will take place at the museum on Sunday the 28th of April. And we're delighted to announce our first guest for the night, which will be former Stags keeper Ian Bowling. He'll be there to talk us through that infamous game where he had to shake hands with the probably unemployed, but looking by the state of it, and talk us through his footballing career, from injuries to his time at the Stags and much, much more in between. It will be a fantastic night, so please do come along and support it. Tickets are just £4.50 per person. All proceeds go to supporting Mansfield Museum. And the link that you need for said tickets is in the description. So we urge you to go and click on that link and buy a ticket and join us on the day. The bar will be open at the theatre so we can all have celebratory drinks. And I'm sure there'll be some champers behind there as well, helping us celebrate. So Stag Stories with Ian Bowling, Sunday the 28th of April at Mansfield Museum. Tickets on sale now. Yes, make sure you don't miss that one with Ian Bowling later on in the month. The tickets, as we say, are on sale now. More on that in a little bit. Right, let's move back to some comments, questions and opinions. And someone in the comments earlier on put about Lewis Brunt, Nick, talking about people getting on his back. One thing that gets on my nerves is the amount of folks slagging Brunt off. Young lads come here, first break through the season. Playing against fully grown men. Some are twice the size of him and he's doing a job. Odd mistake, yes, but no need for what's been said about him. Hope the lad sticks around beyond this season. I echo every word of that.
Yeah, I think the only thing that annoys me about fans with Brunt is that when he gets the ball and passes it around the back, I think people tend to moan. It's like, well, what do we want him to do? Just hoof it up? Because with the ball, we're going to lose the ball anyway. I'd rather him pass around the back and give it away once out of 30 times than hoof it and lose it 20 out of 30 times. Because that's what happens in this league, isn't it? You hoof it up and you lose it. Whereas at least we try and keep the ball. You know, he's coming from a Premier League development team and some a bit of the first team where if you hoofed it, you'd probably get brought off. We sort of have to remember that he's been raised probably from a very young age just to pass the ball around. And we've never had two better centre-backs passing the ball than Brunt and Flint. You look at the assist from Brunt for Akins when he runs through on goal. That was brought straight out of centre-back. Flint played one ball. He was at right-back, or he was sort of in that position, and he pinged the ball to Cargill, or I can't remember, it was Quinn. It was like a 60, 70-yard pass right to his feet.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere, wasn't it? It was a throw-in, and he just booted it across the pitch right to his feet. We've never been so lucky with centre backs on the ball. And yes, you know, things are a bit nervous sometimes, but let's, like I say, you'd rather do that. Let's not hoof it. Let's pass the ball a bit. Sometimes I've got to know when to hoof it, and I give them that. But maybe if we get promoted, Brunt staying is, you know, possible. Albeit you don't see many two-season loans anymore, do you? It doesn't really seem to happen. But no. I'm adamant we would have kept Tyler Walker if we'd have got promoted that season. So potentially we might be able to keep Brunty. There's no reason why not. You know, maybe he's not ready for the championship yet. And who better than a local team where he can
Leicester
play?
Leicester might go up in Tip Bram.
So. Yeah, so he's not going to play then, is he? So, you know, of course we want to keep him. He's a brilliant player, isn't he? He's a fantastic centre back.
And I think
it's a confidence thing as well, isn't it? When he's passing to along the back, he's got confidence to do that.
And they pass it him, don't they? They give it to him. So the other team has got confidence in him.
Yeah.
They wouldn't pass it to him if they thought he was going to do something dodgy with it. And yet, I don't know how many touches he has, but he has a lot.
I think a lot of it, Alan, as well, is down to the mentorship he's had from Mr. Flint.
Yeah.
Massively, yeah. Yeah, it's the whole Pearce definitely. And Sweeney thing, isn't it? When they played together, Pearce and Sweeney. Those old days. But he's, Flint. Can you imagine playing next to Flint? It's got to be a dream, hasn't it? He's won loads of things. He's experienced, he's dominant, he's brilliant. He's a local lad, seems like a nice guy. You couldn't want any more, could you?
They fit together well, don't they, Flint and Brunt? Or whether it's Flint and Cargill, Flint and Blunt at the moment, and it just fits together. Like they said, Flint, the old head, the young lad with Brunt, he's got the pace.
Yeah.
Flint's not short of pace either. It can shift a little bit.
I've not seen anyone outpace Flint. You know, I know we worried about his pace, but I've not seen anyone run past him. I think he just doesn't let them, does he? He either fouls them or just blocks them out of the way.
He's the man mountain, isn't he?
Yeah.
He has to go round him.
That takes 2 weeks because of he's just built, isn't he? And that's exactly what you want from a centre back. And I think Flint is the best signing in many, many years. It is
100%
really just elevated our game, and we've just managed to get the right fit of people around him because you can sign players like Flint, you can sign, you know, your big name players, and then it all becomes about one person making a team. Well, it doesn't whatsoever. Flint is just one of several. Which is just incredible. Right, keep your comments coming in. Obviously announced early today that the Wrexham game is now on TV. And the gate has opened up again. Hey, looks like we're on telly twice. Then no surprise, it's Wrexham. They've got super poor Mullin. He just can't seem to touch the ball. I think they got Mullin, super poor Mullin. But lately, he's not been scoring. Well done, the gate. Well done.
Is that the poetry gate?
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah.
And now, my friends, I must close because my comments have been have taken too much skin off the nose.
Don't give up the day job, Craig.
What the bloody hell am I going to say next? Make it rhyme. Move on, please. Thank you. Right, Alan, let's move it on swiftly, shall we, and talk about Lewis Reed, who has signed a new contract this week.
Yeah, well pleased. Well pleased indeed. He had maybe 4 weeks ago, he had a bit of a sticky patch, didn't he? Where he wasn't playing quite so well. But he's come back again. He's come like the Lewis Reed that we know. And I'm very pleased, you know, and it's keeping that momentum going, isn't it? You know, getting these players signed up can only be a really good thing, you know, because it breeds confidence, because what we're going to do for this year and next year as well.
Thing is, though, Nick, they need to keep that pen out, don't they? Because there's still several players whose contracts expire at the end of this campaign.
Yes, absolutely. I think, but the majority of our squad, I think, are League One ready, aren't they? A lot of them. There's not many that you go, I probably can't play in League One. So, yeah, just get sign up as many as we can while everyone's happy. While the mood is right, get them signed up. I don't know if there's an option on Reeds, whether it's just the 18 months, I'm not sure. But, it's to be fair, he could play higher, couldn't he? So the intention is obviously he sees potential in the club as well. You know, and Flint as well, they've signed longer. A lot of people have signed good contracts, haven't they? I don't know who's out of contract, to be honest. I haven't checked, but, you know, we'd like to say keep the pen out, get them all signed up, keep them.
One, I think Maris might be another. I can't remember if they've signed a new deal recently. I did have a list, but I think it might be outdated. We'll have to check that for next time. Sorry, Alan.
I was just thinking, you know, thinking on Saturday, you know, when they come out or run out, you know, depending, I would imagine they'll be in the squad, both of them. Wonder how Coughlin will feel, because didn't he sign Maris and Clark?
Yes.
So to Stags. I thought he did, yeah. Wonder how he'll feel when he sees them two line up against him.
Yeah,
thinking, what could have been?
Yeah, what could have been if I'd not, if I knew how to actually play football? Although yeah. fans seem to like him again. I liked him. I just thought it was the wrong time for him. Anyway, we won't go into that debate. And Cole says I'm Bowery. I've got a feeling Bowery might play Saturday, but we'll come to that later on. With the flippage of games, let's move on to fixtures then, shall we? Before we do podcast predictions, and of course, find out who is top at the end of February. Busy month ahead this month, Nick. Obviously, Newport on Saturday, then Tuesday night at home to MK Dons. First time we've played them since they broke our hearts in the third minute from a corner. Swindon, Tranmere, Bradford, Colchester, which is a Sky TV game, kickoff 12:30. And now Wrexham also a TV game on Good Friday, which stays at 3 o'clock. So two back-to-back Sky TV games as well. This is a huge, huge month ahead, Nick, isn't it?
It is, but I don't fear anyone. I don't look at that list and go, oh, I don't fancy us against them, or I don't fancy us against them. We stick to that sort of 2 points a game average, which we're more than capable of, and you're promoted, aren't you? That's what you've got to look at the next game and just put in little mini game. All right, let's win the next three. To Wimbledon, and then we won three in a row or whatever it was before we played Warsaw. So you've just, that's what we've got to do, isn't it? Just keep putting good runs together. And if we don't win, then we don't lose. It's really important that if we're not in the best of form for that one particular game, that we don't lose. Because points do add up at the end of the season, don't they? And that's the thing. But we will bounce back quick. So if we do lose on Saturday, it's not the end of the world. We'll probably beat MK Dons and vice versa. It's just, I don't worry about any of them fixtures at all. The only ones I worry about is the ones on the bloody telly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although last time I played on Sky, 4-1, didn't we, away at County? So, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely. What does appeal to me, Alan, is that the next four games, obviously I'm very much in the camp of take one game at a time, but the next four games, Saturday, Tuesday, quick succession. We've got the squad to cope with it. There will be squad rotation. This is a real opportunity now to gather some momentum and not just... Where's it gone? Where is it? I've lost it. Where's it gone? Bear with. Not just to solidify our position in the top three, worth it, but also try and galvanise us to go forward and remove any form of toxicity, which may be in the back of the brain when it comes to thinking that we might absolutely it up.
Yeah, I just can't see that happening, Craig. I think with the squad that is assembled and Nigel, he knows what the game's about. And like we say, I think you have a job on now picking your man of the match, you know, in the predictions, because you're not sure that they're going to, you know, make a start.
It's a guess, you know, now, isn't it? It's a complete guess, that.
I know. You like Ollie Clark, you know, you think, oh, Ollie Clark's a shoo-in, you know, for man of the match, and he don't start. So it's just interesting because there'll be so many changes in that four games. You know, they'll be playing, I think it'll be four different teams. And like Nick, I've got no problems with any of them. We just take each game as it comes. We know we've said it before, take each game as it comes and go on, move on nice and steady and stay where we are.
Very briefly on the man of the match thing for podcast predictions, for a home game, basically pick whoever the sponsors want to meet. Doesn't matter how well they play. Also, Paul says in the comments, just want to say many thanks for putting the subtitles on, as my hearing is not too good these days. I'd love to take credit for it, but Facebook auto-generates them. So thanks, Facebook, for auto-generating subtitles for Paul, and you're very welcome. Right. Let's move on to podcast predictions, shall we? We'll do that in just a second, actually, because we'll give it one little plug whilst we're here. Let's talk about Stag Stories again, Nick. Ian Bowling has agreed to join us for this one. Really great guy. He's got plenty of stories. And I believe that there's a certain somebody that I know in the Mansfield Matters podcast panel team that has a significant shirt.
Oh, I have. Where is it? There. It's reaching distance, look. There it is. Yeah. We've got the handshake shirt, the one with the streaker.
Yeah, the image.
I've got that. I have got the streaker shirt. It's here.
Not the actual shirt. shirt because he didn't have a shirt on. That's the point.
But no, I've not got his snood or whatever he had around his neck. I've not got that. Sorry. Maybe that's the piece of Mansfield memorabilia that I'm missing is the snood from the streaker. So if you are that streaker and you're watching this podcast and you have that snood, provided you've not put anything else in the snood and it's just been around your neck, I'll have it. We'll reunite Ian Bowling with that man. That's what we need to do for the ideas. We need to reunite. We'll say, look, you know, like when they used to do This Is Your Life? Yeah. We could sit Ian Bowling down and we could go, Ian, do you recognise this man? And he'll go, no, I've no idea. And then he takes his clothes off and has a snood on. And he goes, oh, my God, it's Dave from Rotherham.
I can guarantee nobody will be taking the clothes off at our event.
If you're in the chat, anybody, and you are that man, please come forward. Not like with clothes on. Please reveal yourself, but not in that way.
Not like that.
Don't do that.
I thought this was a family show.
It is. We blurred it out. He got kicked off Facebook for that.
Traffic and everything.
Banned. But yeah, the shirt. I'll bring the shirt along. And Ian's fantastic. I mean, obviously, we brainstormed a while back, Craig, and the first and unanimous choice was Ian Bowling because he loves Mansfield. He loves talking about Mansfield. I think his best part of his career was here. You know, he's player of the season multiple times. Fans still sing his name in pubs, according to videos that I've seen. And I think he'll be brilliant. I think he's the perfect person. You could just literally give him the microphone and go and stand at the back and leave him to it. And he'll just talk.
The reasoning behind it, of course, about like the solidity to behind that choice, of course, is what Alan said in the chat. I said, have a guess at who we've got. And straight away, the first name, Alan, out of your virtual mouth was Ian Bowling.
Keith Haslam. It was Keith Haslam first.
And then Ian Bowling or Les Robinson. It was quite easy, really, because they're the only two that I know that have met up with streakers. Because I think Les Robinson, when he had the streaker in front of him, I do believe, I could be wrong, but I do believe he gave him a phone. And like Les Robinson put it inside his shorts. And then when they carted the streaker off, Les Robinson went to the side and passed it to whoever the manager was.
I've got so many questions because A, those shorts wouldn't have had pockets. So where did Les Robinson put it?
He just slipped it inside top.
Behind me now, I have got Les Robinson shorts. No, I haven't.
This is fast turning into a remake of Naked Attraction. No,
or more like Calendar Girls these days.
But can I just say, when Ian Bowling comes, I better bring some sweets because every time he was injured and he come and stood in my box for half an hour with me, he pinched all my toughies. Yeah.
What's his favourite, Alan? Just for reference.
I better bring some sweets with
me. What's his favourite? He's a jelly baby any. Man, isn't he? Got this.
It was any, mate. Any that I'd got.
Oh dear. Well, please do come along to that event. Tickets are on sale now. The link that you need is in the description. We'll keep plugging it until we're blue in the face. We'll hopefully be announcing more guests and maybe even more dates soon, but it all relies on you guys. Obviously, we're aware that a lot of the events throughout the football exhibition, the Beautiful Game exhibition, are for free and that there is a charge associated to this one. That is because we're hosting it on a Sunday and the museum just need a little bit of extra support when it comes to putting their staff on and things like that. So all proceeds, we don't take a penny. All proceeds go back to supporting Mansfield Museum. So please do get on that link in the description and get your ticket for the Beautiful Game exhibition. Nick's second event has still got a few tickets left for it. The first one sold out. Looking forward to that one. We had a nice little brainstorming session the other night about what's going to happen in that. So get tickets for that as well. We'll put the link for that on our page as well. Please do remind me to do that, Nick. I will always forget. So please.
To plug it myself, to be honest. So I need to do that.
Yeah,
family members asking that. When is it? I'm like, oh crap! Yeah, I forgot to tell you. Sorry. Yeah, 8th of May. 8th of May is the second one.
Yeah, so we'll get the tickets in there as well. And if you want a taste, by the way, of what's coming up, the Beautiful Game exhibit is coming to Oak Tree Leisure Centre. Oak Tree Leisure Centre has teamed up with Mansfield Museum to help launch an exciting new exhibit. Football: The Beautiful Game will be available to view at the Mansfield Museum on Leeming Street from the 2nd of April. All the way to the 1st of June. But residents will be allowed a sneak preview during a football fun day at Oak Tree Leisure Centre on Saturday the 9th of March. So on Saturday, running From 9 until 3, the community are invited to take part in free football sessions at Oak Tree Leisure Centre, whilst also sampling the exhibit. I can't speak today, and I can't seem to get my breath either. It's annoying. There will be snippets from the oral history of East Midlands football film made with the help of local fans, whilst there will be a design your own match attacks activity, allowing younger football fans to take a memento from the occasion. So yeah, do go along to that as well. Get a little bit of a taster of what you can see. Oak Tree Leisure Centre, Saturday the 9th of March at 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. So I believe we're at home that day, aren't we, as well?
Swindon.
Yeah,
at home. So before the game, go to Oak Tree Leisure Centre, have a kick around for free and have a little taste of the exhibition. And then from the 2nd of April all the way through to the 1st of June, go along to Mansfield Museum and have a look at the beautiful game exhibition, which will feature Nick of Mansfield Town Shirts fame with not one but two events all about shirts. And of course, our Stag Stories Live with Ian Bowling. More to be announced very, very soon indeed. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? It's the guessing game that brings you zero fame. But to be the best, you must outguess the rest. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? In the League or Cup, you just make it up. Because they're just works of fiction. It's podcast predictions. Will they win, lose or draw? Right, it's that time again where we do all things podcast predictions. Of course, it is the end of the month as well, which means we need to do the league table. Before we do that, though, let's do our predictions for all things Newport and for MK Dons. Before we do that, Alan and Nick, just whilst I scribble down the top 10, because I forgot to do it, lots of games to come this month. Talk us through your expectations for it. Nick, I'll start with you.
I think there'll be a random defeat in there, I'm sure, that we're not expecting, but then we'll bounce back at some point with another win. I think we'll definitely pick up the 2 points a game, which is what we're after. And who knows, with the way we're scoring, somebody else could be getting tanked the way we're going. I don't know. But I certainly think the home games will be tough because we're playing obviously the top teams. But like we said earlier with Al, we could beat anybody, can't we?
I would be hoping for at least 10 points, 3 wins and a draw. I don't know. I'm not sure which one the draw will come against. It might be MK. I'm not so sure. But I would hope for at least 10 points. But, you know, each game as it comes, like we've said before, Nigel will rotate the squad, keep everybody fresh or as fresh as he can be, and we'll see where it takes us. And I'm sure we'll still be there or thereabouts after the next 4 games.
A lot of teams are playing each other as well, aren't they, at the top?
Yeah, that's the big thing, isn't it? It's not just us. No. It's, you know, other teams are playing other teams. So, they can do us a favour as well. And, you know, obviously it's in our hands anyway.
And for us not to go up, 3 teams need to overtake us, don't they? So 3 teams have got to have better run-ins than us. Yeah. Put it simple. Yeah, and they're all playing each other and taking points off each other.
Yeah, I just can't see that happening, Nick.
Not
I
the way we're going at the minute, no.
No.
We're just at it, aren't we, at the minute?
You just get the confidence factor, you know, that you're watching a team that's firing on all cylinders.
And there's no better team than ours. It's not just that we're playing better. There is no better squad than ours, is there?
Even if we're, like you said earlier on, even if we have a bit of a lull in one game, you know full well that he is distilled it into and that no way you lose 2 matches on trot.
Yeah.
And they haven't done so, you know. That's the way forward, I think.
Perfect padding, gentlemen. Well done. Right, time for our podcast prediction for Newport and for MK Dons. Clive kicked us off earlier. He went with a 3-1 win over Newport with Davies Keeler Dunn as man of the match. Alan, you're up next.
3-0, Mansfield win. And I would go with Bailey Cargill, man of the match.
Nick?
2-1, Swan.
Ooh,
it has to rhyme. If it doesn't rhyme, you can't have it. You can go 2-0 Cargill. Well, you had 3-0 Cargill, didn't you? So that rhymes. There you go.
Thank you. 3-0 Cargill. 2-1 Swan. Right, Craig.
Oh, yeah. No pressure there, is there?
He's picked Boateng, though, so that's a good score for that.
Got it. 6-0. 6-0.
Try, don't say Brunt. There's nothing rhymes with Brunt that we need to be saying on here.
6-0. Don't come home skin. It's going to be Aidan Flint.
There you go.
There you go. One for MK Dons. Do not have to rhyme because I can't think of another player to rhyme with. Off with a more conserved 2-0 win. Maris. Nick, you're next.
2-1 win, Christy Pym.
Oh, for God's sake.
That doesn't even rhyme properly, does it? But it'll do.
No. Alan, go on.
2-0 win, Amber I Bleed, and Picking Reed.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to do
it's
the same.
It's worse, isn't it? Get Clive back for some sanity.
Well, I'm going to...
Well, it was quite conservative, weren't it, Clive? I was surprised.
To say sanity, he's gone for a 1-0 win against MK Dons with Aidan Flint as man of the match. So
it's not very Clive-ish, is it?
Right, I suppose we should run through all of the podcast predictions nominee. Right, if your name is read out, this means you are not in the top 10, and I'm not going to read your score out either. This is just for an honorary mention. So here we go. Ashley Mutter, Steve Yule, Clive Parkin, Adam Crump, Tim Phillips, Proud Stags, me, Simon Wilson, Stephen Pound, Kathy Holmes, Otley Stags, Sarah Stonick, Marie Wilson, Keely of Her Game 2, Paul Broomhead, Darren Wood, Joel Dahlman, Roger King, Cam Felton, Richard Spencer, Sam Pateman, Craig Vincent, Craig Foster, Jim Evans, Dennis Sims, Mark Lapko, Ian Brown, Matt Green, not that one, Matt W, Mitchell the American, Addison Crump, Craig Pateman, Taxi Pete, Nathan Edge, Gabby A, Teddy Oliver, Sarah Armson, up your game. Nick Welsh, John, Liam Smith, Carl Whitty, Joe, Jubs, Watson Wanderers, Mr. Tickle, really? Luke Bramall, B Block New Boy, Yellow Gaz, Tara, Kyle Bingley, Oliver 425, Radcliffe Stag, Lorna, Emma Vincent, Kyle Bingley, Tom King, Mel Shatlock, Silper Mel, Mark, and The Gate. Well done. You've made it onto the scoreboard.
Gate.
But have you made the top 10? No, you haven't. Because here is who is in the top 10. In joint 10th, it's JS, Will Pounds, and Nick of Mansfield Town Shirts fame. With
You're joking.
In at 9, it's David Shetlife with 76 points. Coming in at number 8, it's Stags Chat with 77. In at 7, it's Chris Ellison on 80. Then at 6, it's joint between Fathead and Mrs. Trump, 81.
It's not the streaker, is it? With the coming in number 5 is not the streaker with the snood, is it?
If that's Kiwi Stag, then it could well be on 80 points. In at number 4, it's Alan Wilson on 90.
90. And then
we have still got Nick Felton, Steve Naden, and Ben Swain. But who is in what order? I feel like we need a change of music. I feel like we need a little bit of tension. Here's your top 3. In at 3, 96 points. It's the man who does all the maths. The man who puts all the results together. It's Ben Swain. Two people have reached the 100-point mark. One of them is on 101. One of them is on 112. They've been neck and neck all season long. Nick Felton and Steve Naden. Has one leapfrogged the other?
Steve Naden.
With 101 points in at 2, it's Nick Felton, which means at the top of the league, It's Steve Nadin with 112.
Good score.
Well done, Steve, keeping yourself top of the league. Quick run through then of the Mansfield Matters League. 7 people now in it. Nathan props up the rest on 12. I don't think he's predicted since like 2004.
He's not 12.
Yeah.
He had Colin Larkin as his goal scorer for the last game. I think he's played a different game to us.
Certainly has. In at 6th, Evans has had a rapid climb. At one point, Nathan was above Jim. Now Jim is above Nathan on 33 points. Cam Felton is then in 5th on 41. I'm then in 4th with 67. Clive is in 3rd on 71. Then Nick, 2 points ahead on 73. But leader of the pack, and I think he could well, I think he's well deserving of a group of people following around in him around the dustbin routes, singing this. King Alan Wilson leading the way on 90 points at the top of the league. Well done, my friend. Can you stay there, though, from the end of the season? Mainly because I think you just keep getting your man of the match picks right, really. But well done.
And he always picks us to win, which any other season would be a problem. But this year, it's been a good thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, it has. So well done, Alan, for being top of the league in podcast predictions. Will you stay there next time around? All is to be revealed. Right, that is all we've got time for on tonight's Mansfield Matter show. Please don't go anywhere, Alan and Nick. We've got a little bit of recording to do. But for now, helps if I put the fader up. That is all we've got time for on tonight's Mansfield Matters podcast. My thanks to Nick of Mansfield Town Shirts fame, to Alan Wilson, and to you guys for watching and listening at home. Join us again at the same time next week when we'll recap MK Dons at home and the trip to Graham Cochran's Newport County. Will the Stags have 6 points? Will they have no points? Will they have 2 points? Will they have 4? Anything is possible. A reminder to get involved in podcast predictions. The link that you need is in the description. You must do so no later than 1 hour and 1 minute before the respective kickoffs. And if you haven't done so already, please get your tickets to Stags and Stories Live, Sunday the 28th of April, 6 p.m. at Mansfield Museum, £4.50 per person. The link that you need is in the description. The Stags are top of the table. Will they stay there? Join us next time as we hope the answer is yes.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.